Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. A couple of notes first. One is about the opening phrase, "from that time on." It occurs two times in the Gospel of St. Matthew, one at chapter 4, verse 17, and one here. Both of these times announce a great change, an encouragement to a great change. And then right before this lesson, we remember from last week, was Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ. So now, from that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his dominion." The Gospel of the Lord. From that time on, 45 years ago, I was working in Chicago, mostly for the Prince of Peace Corps volunteers and inner city mission operation of the church. I was teaching reading skills with inner city kids, and I was trying to address the housing needs of segregated and impoverished communities. But mostly, I was learning about life. Did I have one? Was my question, although I wasn't sure about it at the time. People I was working with had pretty rough lives, or so it seemed to me. Their possibilities, their options had been narrowed down and been shrunk by poverty, by racism, by segregation. In this context, one day I was invited to lunch at the apartment of one of the families, one of the mothers with whom I was working. Lucille lived in the Robert Taylor Homes. And if you remember Chicago from some years ago, the Robert Taylor Homes lined the Dan Ryan Freeway heading south, and there was project after project. And as you drove the freeway, it seemed like one more would just keep popping up over the horizon, an incredible number. We gathered in her kitchen, very clean, very spare. Our lunch, red beans, and sugar. One of the best meals I ever had. Because it was all that she had. Except that she was full of welcome, full of openness. She was full of faith in God, full of life. From that time on, life changed. Our life arrived. I often cite that very experience as the impetus for my coming then to St. Louis to study at the seminary. Of course, the other impetus is sitting back there somewhere. From that time on, I wonder, what is your story? What is your from that time on experience? Something that shaped your life, turned you around, changed everything. When did that happen for you? After Jesus' baptism, after his temptation, after he learned that John was thrown into prison, all this happens in chapter 3 and 4, we read in that verse 17 of chapter 4, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. That is, turn around, change your minds, get a new mindset. And with that announcement of his presence, the presence of the realm of God, Jesus encountered the first disciples, calling them to discipleship, calling them to life itself. From that time on, for them, everything changed. They left their previous lives, no longer fishermen. But that wasn't it so much. No longer were they governed and ruled by the status quo, but now went with Jesus, feeding and healing, accepting, giving new life. The realm, the community of God, had drawn near to them. But it was an unexpected place, one that they didn't recognize, perhaps, in which a room in heaven was like the kitchen in the Robert Taylor homes, the food of life, red beans with sugar. Or on, if you read the paper this morning, perhaps in the laundromat down where Holy Communion is helping folks with their laundry on Tuesdays in the Wednesday, in the month. Or perhaps if you go with Wayne to our food pantries on Saturday. Or on a hillside where no one had enough to eat, thousands had gathered. You feed them, Jesus said. And thousands were fed. From that time on, from status quo to discipleship. And now today in this lesson that we read and contemplate, we hear the phrase again, apo tote in the Greek, from that time on. Once again, a great change is called for, a change in mind to turn around. Peter has confirmed and confessed that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, rightly said, but not rightly understood or believed. From that time on, Jesus began to show what kind of Messiah he was to be, one who would undergo great suffering. Peter, it didn't make sense. Why would he suffer? It seemed so humiliating and defeatist. Never, Lord. But Jesus knew that giving life to the outcast, the lost, the unacceptable, meant going through the systems of death that gave power to some at the demeaning and brutalization of others. He knew that he was challenging rulers in Jerusalem, that he was challenging rulers in Rome. And he also knew that the only way the fallen world could stop his nonviolent gift of life was by violence itself. This dynamic is reflected in our own world these days. For the only way to stop welcoming to the stranger or stop giving community to the excluded is by violence. We see that happening and occurring. Violence against the ones who bring life. Dr. Martin Luther King is our most notable 20th century example of Jesus' word and discipleship. Discipleship of promoting life for those in need and bearing suffering as well. The truth is, Jesus' life had been cruciform all along. As he took upon himself the unacceptability, the prejudice, the social death of the outcast, and in exchange accepted them as God's daughters and sons. Authorities plotted against him. He literally bore these sins, these authorities' sins of violence against him in his own body. The cross was there from the beginning. From that time on, when Jesus appeared, when the realm of God drew near, from that time on. But there's something more here. Maybe it's crossed your mind as I've been speaking. There are some from that time on experiences, some from that time on events that don't turn us around, from which we can't seem to recover. I've been using a lot of metaphor around the experience of the eclipse. I love that phrase, path of totality. It just seems so mysterious. But it's also almost nefarious. For some folks cannot get out of the path of totality. Maybe that's your feeling. Perhaps we've messed up a relationship, or we've injured someone. We can't go back. We can't take it back. Or we've damaged our own reputations, hurt our souls. Or we are traumatized by moral injury of war, perhaps. Or things that befall us. I wonder how many people will be overcome by the flooding or by hunger. From that time on, often we are not the same. Or think we can't be the same, or that we can't forgive or be forgiven. Perhaps God feels absent or is absent. How was Jeremiah feeling in that lesson? What was your sense? God is like a deceitful brook. Or I'm thinking also of Luther, for whom God sometimes only felt like a terror who judges. In such a world in which darkness does not lift, it is, as St. Paul says, vengeance is the Lord's. God will repay, get even perhaps. Paul is right. Vengeance is God's alone. But we rejoice today that God does not use it. From that time on, when that is all we feel and can't find our way out, Jesus appears. The realm of God draws near. Jesus suffers with us, for us, because of us. But God does not repay with vengeance, with violence. God instead chooses forgiveness and the promise of life. And as we gather as the community of faith, as we hear Jesus' words once more, as we gather around the table, as we celebrate with David and all who have gathered here, God chooses us, God chooses you in forgiveness and the promise of life to heal and be healed, to feed and be fed. God comes in Jesus to share the meal. God comes in a poor mother with the only meal that counts, the food and forgiveness, the welcome of life. From that time on, amen.